this much longer, except today is the final message for the 2 years. And what started up as a desire to cover the Ten Commandments last year became a need to set up the law of God and the whole context there. That ended up expanding itself, mushrooming into a whole year in and of itself. So this year, we continued the theme, Timeless Truth, God's Law for All Time, and did the Ten Commandments this year. And so we're on our final tour, final journey this week, and it's been a wonderful time. I couldn't commend it any more to you to go ahead and, if you have the wherewithal this summer to make your summer special, I would say go back, starting with last year, and make it a regular thing. My son Daniel, right now, just about every day, probably 6 days out of the week, is listening to a 31 part series on the book of Daniel, and every day he's going through. And it, when you start getting that continuity and start getting the development of a theme, of a thought, you start living it, you start being possessed by it, and it starts really shaping your worldview. And that's how the Bible is meant to be read. This study of God is just that. This study of the law of God is that. And if you would do something like that this summer, and starting with last year's message, and build, do the studies, I'm telling you, you will not cower. Well, you will cower under the law of God, but you will love and cherish the law of God as well. I just have little doubt that you will come out of this summer prepared, just really ready to be in marvel under God's word. I just know that that's going to happen if you would commit to Him. Like He says, they that honor me will I honor, says the Lord. So that'll be a challenge if you seniors are kind of worried about setting yourself up for the fall and freshman year in college. I couldn't commend the law of God any more to you than that. That's exactly what you would need, because once you get out there, laws are always moving around. They're not even fixated, that means they're not even laws. You're going to get into a sea of relativism. It's just going to be that, and you need to be anchored and have a mooring, an anchoring. So that would be my commendation to you. Tonight, though, I'm not concluding our series. That privilege and honor goes to our brother Mike, who has been a longtime worship leader at TD. Last year, he approached me and said that, you know, he would like to expand his realm of you know, who he is in Christ, and would like to see if he would be able, you know, see what his gifts are, test them out, see if he's able to teach a little bit and see how that would be like. So we gave that a go last year, and this year I asked him if he'd like to come and complete our time today. I appreciate Mike a lot. This time, you know, this space that we have up here for me is sacred. This is sacred space. This is the place where I've done the most teaching of God's Word, of any place that I do it. This is where I've done it the most. This is a sacred space to me. It's a place where you come up and you realize you're standing before very, sometimes impressionable, sometimes skeptical, but very young ears and eyes. And a place where I realize, wow, I've got to be very, very careful with not only what I say, but with who I am that precedes what I say. So I take this role very, very seriously of being your teacher. And I know that Mike understands that well. And he will understand it even more after tonight. He knows the sacredness with which we treat this space here. So Mike's going to kind of attempt to tackle two commandments just because of time and space. We don't have any more time for it. And so I want to ask you to come and welcome Mike up and thank him for taking the hours to come and prepare this message tonight.
And why don't you guys get in your small groups too?
I'm going to read our passage. Okay? All right, this is what Exodus 20 says, and we're going to read it. You know, this is our last time we're going to be going through this. Well, I guess we might read it next week, but let's read the whole passage. And this is what it says. It says, Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no God before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And here are the last two verses, the ones that we're going to go over today. It says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Okay. As Arthur said earlier today, the theme for the past 2 years has been timeless truth, God's law for all. And you know, we've been trying to take a deeper look at God's law, and you know, we've had a lot of interesting topics, and you know, we encourage you guys, especially you freshmen who weren't here last year, to go on the website. You know, you got a lot of time in the summer. Take a look, listen to some of those messages. And you'll definitely be blessed. And I'd say, you know, one of the conclusions I think that we came to last year, and something that we come to during, it seems like, every message, is that while we were once dead in our transgressions, and we were unable to follow the law before, through Christ now, we can live lives of obedience. That the person who believes in the gospel and in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is made alive, right? Made alive in Christ and is able to follow His commandments by Christ's power, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. The old things are gone and the new things have come, right? Galatians 2:20 says, and I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And, you know, we sang a song today at the beginning about being a generation that is different, a generation that is being revived, a generation that is being changed. And in a time where, you know, there's a battle for truth, there's a battle over absolutes, there's a battle over morality, we need a generation of believers that will stand on the truth of God's Word. Right? We need a generation of believers who will stand up to the persecution that may be just around the corner for us, perhaps sooner than we think. Right? We need a generation who is going to go out there to a world that has so many needs. It seems like more needs than we've ever felt before. And a generation that doesn't just know what's true and doesn't just know what's right, but is willing to be changed and willing to go out there and try to meet those needs. We need true followers of Christ, ones that you know, are characterized by a passionate and genuine obedience, right? John 14:21 says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me, wait, is that the right one? He loves me, but will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Right? Whoever loves Christ will obey. And that's what the church is called to be. And that's how the kingdom of God is going to advance. That's how this world is going to be changed, by people who truly believe what they say they believe, right? And truly live out what they believe. And messengers who are not just proclaiming the message, but again, who are truly transformed. And that's why we spend so much time on the gospel. That's why we spend so much time on these commandments, because we need to understand that we're changed, and we need to understand that we're saved, and we also need to understand what God calls us to do. And we meditate on God's law, and we study it, and we take a good look, and the hope that we have, and the hope that we have today, is that at the end of the night, as we are meditating on these things, that the Holy Spirit will come and show us face to face how we can be sanctified and how we can grow into Christ-likeness. And, something that Frank talked about last week a few weeks ago, and something I really appreciated, was the challenge that we face, right? The challenge we face is that we take God's holiness, which is, right here, right? God's holiness. And we take man's sinfulness, and we say, hey, we're really not that bad, and God's really not that holy. And what happens is, we diminish sin for what it is. We diminish, God's holiness. And so that's one of the challenges we have today. And tonight, we're going to be talking about two commandments. And we're going to be talking about one that, it's pretty simple, I think, to understand. And it's probably simple because we've all done it before, and there's just no question about it, and that's lying. Right? It's pretty simple. The other one we're going to be talking about is maybe a little more complex, or in my eyes, is a little more complex, and takes some extra time to dig into it, and that's coveting. And, each of them are different, and so we're going to approach them a little bit different, but in both situations, we're going to try to kind of get some of those nuances in and try to see some of the layers. We're not going to be able to get through all of them. That's something I realized during the week when I was prepping. I was like, how do I fit two commandments into one message? But that's what we're going to try to do tonight. Okay? And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for tonight, just that we could have this time and have this opportunity to come to your word, this opportunity to look at these last two commandments. And we know that they're at the end, and maybe they're not the ones we always remember, Lord, but they're nonetheless still important, Lord. They're just as important as the others. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us to come tonight and be vulnerable, to be open, to be willing to engage with your word, and to be willing to just take a quick and a good look at our lives, and to take a good look at your word and what it says. And again, to let it transform us. So we pray these things in your son's precious name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, Exodus 20:16, right? You shall not bear false witness to your neighbor. Okay, it's pretty easy. I was recently called to do jury duty. Okay, how many of you guys know what jury duty is? Okay, basically, you're called by the state. It's your civic duty to go to the courtroom, and we have in this country due process, right? So when someone commits a crime or when there's some sort of dispute, they go into the courtroom if it escalates there, and they bring things before a judge, and in a lot of cases they bring it before a jury. And so I had a chance to serve on jury duty. A lot of people don't like it. I was okay with doing it this time, and so I got a chance to sit on the jury. And you're there to judge, the situation. And I was in a civil case. Basically, it was about property or possessions or something like that. Not about like a crime that was committed. Okay. And so, it's a very just interesting experience. Or I was very fascinated by the experience. It wasn't the most exciting, but it was interesting to be there and to sit in the courtroom. And you go in, and the judge like instructs you on the law, and it's pretty serious. Like, it's no joke. Like, the judge is You know, it's not like trying to have a good time. It's not like on TV. You know, you see some of those shows, right? And they have the lawyer, they have the court reporter, right, who's typing. They have the court clerk who, you know, I'm not completely sure what the court clerk does the whole time, but she's there, and there's just a lot of things going on. And one of the things that I noticed was that basically in a courtroom, you know, you got where the judge sits, you got the jury box, you know, you got two tables for the lawyers and stuff, and, you know, the court reporter is here, there's a stand where they bring witnesses, and, you know, the court clerk is right there. And they have this thing called the bar. Okay, and basically it separates, you know, the rest of the courtroom, and these are kind of like seats and stuff. And this is the door. Sorry, this is not a very good picture. But there's this thing called the bar, and it separates, you know, the rest of the court. Everything that's basically going on in a trial happens here, and witnesses or people who are just coming to see can sit back here. And so every time they had a witness come in, you know, an expert, a doctor, we had a lot of doctors come to our case. It was a car accident, so there was a lot of doctors who came. So, you know, the witness came in, and they would kind of like stop right here. And the court clerk would make them raise their right hand, and what would they make them say? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Right? And that's what they used to do. And every single witness, make them do it. Right? And something you realize when you see that, you know, is the reason they do that is because truth matters. Right? Truth matters. In a courtroom, it matters. Right? It matters to everyone in there. Right? For the judge, his responsibility is to make sure the court stays in order. Right? The lawyers, they're, you know, they want to make sure that the truth comes out. Or maybe that not all the truth comes out. Right? For the reporter, you know, she's got to document everything. And so she's got to hear, you know, the truth. Right? The witnesses that come up, they're supposed to tell the truth. Right? For us as a jury, we have to make our decisions based on the truth or what we think is the truth and what is presented. Right? Truth is important in a courtroom. Right? And that's the context that we see this commandment come in. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The parties in a crime or in some sort of trial are affected by whether or not the truth comes out. Right? So you understand first that truth matters. Okay? And second, you understand that untruthfulness is a problem. Okay? If it wasn't a problem, why would they make people take an oath? Why would they make people say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Because they know there's that temptation, right? They know that there's that temptation when you get up on the stand, maybe to fib a little bit, to say something different, right? The truth matters, and untruthfulness is a problem, right? And so when the Bible tells us not to bear false witness, you know, it's not just speaking against lying in the court, right? It communicates to us that heavy things hang on the truthfulness of our words. That sort of makes sense? Okay. That heavy things hang on the truthfulness of our words. Okay, so in a courtroom, it's really important. But Scripture doesn't just limit itself to the courtroom. If we look at Scripture as a whole, we see that Scripture clearly speaks against all types of lying. Lying in general, okay? There's a few verses that maybe I can have a few people read. Leviticus 19:11. Anyone want to read that? Just turn there. Leviticus 19:11. Daniel.
You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another.
Okay, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Okay? Pretty clear. Okay? Proverbs. And there's a lot of, I have a few, but there's a lot of verses in Proverbs that have to do with lying. Proverbs 6:16-17. Anyone got that one? Amy. Keep reading the next verse.
Okay. Next.
Okay, there's a few more. I'll read these ones. Proverbs 12:22. It kind of says the same thing as the one that Amy just read, and it says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." If you go back a verse to, or a few verses to Proverbs 12:19, it says, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue for but a moment." Okay, so Scripture is very, very clear about it. You know, there's not that much more that we can talk as far as understanding that lying is something that God does not like. Lying is not something, it's something that we're commanded not to do. And so this is something, you know, we could talk a lot about. But instead, I want you guys in your small group to spend some time talking about it and bringing it down to your life. Okay, what are some ways that we lie today? And second, you know, what are we ultimately trying to do when we lie? And third, are there... Just keep those two for now. Okay? What are some of the ways that we lie today? And what are we ultimately trying to do when we lie? Okay, so in your small groups, why don't you guys take 5 minutes to kind of talk about that, and we'll kind of discuss it in a bit. Okay?